I believe Simon has been telling you what I've been doing, although by the fact that some of you are asking me if I had a great holiday, he hasn't done a very good job. I actually wasn't away on holiday. Oh, but it was, because it was a beautiful place to spend a holiday, but I was spending some time at what is called the Anglican Leadership Institute, and I'll tell you more about it as the weeks go by. You'll hear snippets of it feed into what I hope I've gleaned and what the Lord is still asking me to glean. It was an intensive leadership course, but at it were people from all over the world, from all continents, Africa, Australia, South America, North America, and Europe. And it was an amazing learning experience. There was one bishop there from Kenya who told a fantastic story, and you could see everybody scribbling down his story because you just knew that you were going to tell it, so I'm going to tell it to you, all right? But this is his story, not mine. And he was talking about the attentiveness of congregations to what is being said from here and how important it was for them to be attentive. And he told them of a time when he was in his cathedral in Nairobi, and the PA system wasn't working properly. So this is a big Anglican congregation. The place is full. And he's trying to explain to them that it's not working properly, and words are drifting in and out, and they're all... And then he stops, and they all say, "And also with you." As we do, we can be prone to sit and not interrogate what's been saying or not engage with what's been saying, but I know that's not you. One of the other things we did was there were 17 or 18 of us, and we're all sitting around, "Well, what's your congregation like, and what's your congregation like, and what's your congregation like?" And I said, "Well, my congregation are all right." You see, you get it. But they took that, why, what's wrong with them? Why are they just all right? Why are they just all right? Irony. Whew. All right. So, it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant to be back, and I'll try and give you some of the snippets of what was said and how it impacted over the next wee while. It would be pretty futile to have gone for all of that time and for it not to come out in what I'm saying or what I'm doing because of the number of people that were there from all over the world. And we tend to sit in our little part, in our little corner. Jesus bids us shine, you know, you in your small corner and I in mine, and that's good and that's right, but we tend to cut ourselves off from the rest of our Christian brothers and sisters around the world, and I've had the privilege of meeting some of them and hearing what they've had to say. It would be only right that you get a little bit of reportage and a little bit of something of that back. So today we are continuing in our look at the creeds. We just read from the Apostles' Creed. We're at on the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's in the Apostles' Creed. And then in the Nicene Creed, it continues, "He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end." This is the bit where we're at. This is actually the crux of our faith. This is the bit that's talking about the resurrection. With no resurrection, there is no faith. With no resurrection, there is no hope. With no resurrection, everything is a pointless and meaningless exercise. We're all feeling good. We have a great time. We go. But there's no substance to our faith without the resurrection. Absolutely none at all. And in this part of our creeds, that is the declaration that is being made. The resurrection has happened. Our God reigns. That's the simple statement that we draw from those lines. Our Lord reigns. And the bit that Gordon has read to us from Revelation supports that, but of course there are so many other parts of Scripture that support it that I'm not going to go through and cover all the bits of Scripture and go through it line by line. I'm going to be looking at the substance of the statement and declaration that you've all just made, that the Lord reigns, that he has risen and he reigns. We're going to look at what that should mean. And so my question to you this morning is this. Does the Lord reign in you, or do you reign the Lord in? Do you get that? Does the Lord reign in you, or do you reign him in? That is my question to you this morning as we look at the substantive issue of the declaration that God, or that Christ has risen and is reigning. We look at the issue, what does that mean then in your life? And I began with Revelation because that sets it clear. That makes it absolutely clear that victory is secured. That we look at this topic, this subject, this declaration from the point of view that he reigns definitively. We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. We've just said the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. We've already declared it twice this morning that our God reigns. If that is something meaningful in our lives, well then surely we should expect to see it and see the fruit of it in our lives. That it is not just a bland statement. It is not just something we say of rote and also with you. Not something we say of rote just because we come to church. It is something that is deeply meaningful in our lives and indeed transformational. One of the things that also came up when we were all talking away over there was what's important. What's really going on in the church today? What's a problem for us? What's a problem for them? What are the issues for us? What's an issue for them, wherever they were in their world? One of the biggest issues that was rising was the issue of persecution, Christian persecution. So Christians, some of the research that came out was that Christians are the most widely persecuted religious group in the world, suffering discrimination, harassment, repression, and violence in 133 countries. 133 countries. And in Muslim-majority countries, that harassment is where it is growing the fastest. So when we were exchanging what the problems were, I would have been talking about some of the laws and some of the more subtle ways in which pressures are coming on our freedom to engage in our faith and the things we can say and can't say increasingly. They would have been talking, especially the African bishops, about the threat of Islam in their congregations. The issues were real for both, but theirs was pretty stark in the way in which they were having to deal with their congregations and grow and evangelize in their areas in the face of the growing, what they considered was a threat of Islam. So when we say that Jesus reigns, it brings a certain strength to the force and character of our evangelism, of our ministries, of our churches, of the things we say and do, and how we love and behave with others. And so this bit of our creeds is so vital in encouraging us to stand firm in our faith, because if Jesus reigns, and he does, then that should have an impact on our behavior. It should make us bold. It should make us unafraid. It should make us daring. It should make us aware. It should make us understand the urgency of time, that time is precious, that the things that we're doing matter, every single one of them, in how we are conducting ourselves with God, before God and thereafter unto God's people. When these guys said, Jesus reigns, they are doing it in the face of an opposition that wants to steal their flock and convert it to Islam. When we say our God reigns, that is not the same pressure for us. We say our God reigns and we look to the statute book and the way in which laws are changing, the subtle ways in which the media is portraying our Christianity and our faith. We both stand on the rocks of Jesus reigning. Therefore, it must have genuine meaning in our lives and in our hearts if it is to have the transformational impact that we want it to have in the communities in which we live and work. Our God reigns. Jesus reigns. On the third day, he rose again. Yes, he did. In accordance with the scriptures, that's what they say. He ascended into heaven. Yes, he did. And is seated at the right hand of the Father. We say it deliberately every week to remind us that that is absolutely true. Thereafter, we take it and we go into our world and we live it. We live it. No matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what the pressures, no matter what the circumstances, our Lord reigns. Our Lord reigns. So we start at the end, so to speak, with the victory secured in Revelation. But there are obviously some great passages elsewhere. Isaiah 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your God reigns. And it's an interesting little passage, isn't it? Not only does our God reign and we declare it, but there's other stuff that's going on. Who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation. There is action along with the belief. It's not just simply that we declare it and go home and have our roast potatoes and roast chicken. There is something for us to do thereafter if our God really reigns. We have work to do. There's a Greek word for it, kerygma, to proclaim, announce, make known. We are part of the kerygma. That's our job. If Jesus reigns, therefore we will tell everybody and declare it. Not good enough just to know it. Not good enough just to feel it. Not good enough to take it home and protect it for ourselves. Our God reigns, we declare it. We show it in our lives most of all. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your God reigns. Psalm 97, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad. In other words, the entire world, be glad. Are you happy that God reigns? Yes? I'm not sure. Are you happy that God reigns? Yes. Let's engage. All right? He reigns. We're happy. Let the Lord reign, let the earth rejoice. And given all that's going on in our world, maybe all that's going on in your personal lives, all the stuff that gets in the midst of life and living, one amazing constant is that Jesus reigns. There are no surprises for Jesus. Whatever's going on, he's not surprised, but he's there to help. One only needs to turn to him. And maybe you don't get an instant answer, but you persevere to be constant in prayer, to persevere. Our God reigns. And he reigns over all the earth. When the queen was made queen, she had something to say and agree to. She was given an orb. And the orb was a globe, the world, and above it, the cross, right? The orb is the world, and attached to the above it, cross, probably very expensive. You might see it in the Tower of London or Windsor Castle or wherever it is. And then at her coronation, when she was given the orb, the Archbishop of Canterbury said this: "When you see this orb set under the cross, remember that the whole world is subject to the power and empire of Christ our Redeemer." Isn't that powerful? When you see this orb set under the cross, remember that the whole world is subject to the power and empire of Christ our Redeemer. That was part of her coronation. I think that's amazing. You know, when she eventually passes, will they do the same with Charles? I don't know. Is that something that you can relate to? The whole world subject to the cross of Jesus Christ? Is that something that has meaning and force and impact in your lives? The whole world. See, my question at the start is deliberate. Does Jesus reign in your life, or do you rein him in? And I think, and I believe that for most of us, myself included, there are times when we rein him in. We say, "Yeah, you, Lord, you reign, but not in this wee bit. I can manage this wee bit on my own." And we rein him in, which is a mistake born of our sin, but we rein him in. We need to let him reign in all of our lives. But sometimes, yeah, we rein him in, and we rein him in, and maybe it's about sport. Maybe it's about food. Maybe there's parts of our lives where he doesn't reign because we're too embarrassed to let him reign. Or we don't want him interfering in that bit of our lives. Or we think we can control that bit ourselves. And especially in our Western cultures, the tendency to be self-sufficient and self-aware is huge. Yet we as God's people must proclaim that he reigns and allow him to reign in every facet of our lives, lest our witness be diminished in a world that badly, incredibly needs us to be the witness to Jesus Christ that we declare we are when we say these creeds. We must live out our faith. And if he reigns, then we better make it clear that he's reigning in every part of our lives. We've got to declare it. And you can imagine, and in fact you don't have to imagine, I'm sure there are many of you here more mature in your faith than me, who know the truth of living out Christ reigning in our lives, who have witnessed in their own lives the truth of his reign through many years of experience, of the ups and downs of life. I know this to be true because I visit you in your homes and you tell me of how amazing God is, of how you couldn't have lived without him, of how you couldn't cope without him, of how you couldn't have managed that particular circumstance without him, of how you can't, as you lie in your bed dying, consider life without him because you know that he reigns. And I leave, and Simon leaves, more blessed than you can ever believe because of the faith of those we encounter. They live out Jesus reigns. Does he reign in your life, or are you reigning him in? Does your life kerygma, proclaim, announce, make known the fact that Christ reigns in your life? When you say on the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Do you believe it? Is it true of who you are, of how you behave, of how you relate, of the things that you do? Because that's the challenge. There's no one standing outside our door today trying to convert you to something else on the way out. Suppose there was. Could you say, Jesus reigns? What if the person standing outside the door, as has happened to some of my new friends, is offering you money to put your children through school? Or to pay for your hospital fees for your mother or father? Wow, that'd be tempting, wouldn't it? That's happening. Does Jesus reign at that point? When in some future time or even now, laws are being introduced that are contrary to our faith, does Jesus reign enough for you even just to sign a petition against it? He rose again. He reigns. His reigning must have meaning in our lives. We're not like the congregation listening to a dodgy PA system, and all they've got is what they've wrote, learned, and also with you. We are thinking, living, breathing people in the power of the Holy Spirit, acknowledging that Christ reigns, and it must have a difference in your lives. It must make a difference in your lives. So does Jesus reign? Or are there parts of your lives where he's reigning you in? I can't answer that for you, but I'm searching it for me. Because I'm confident there are little bits of the areas of my life that I need to let him reign fully. Because in that certainty of him reigning is the ability to deal with anything that this world thinks it has for us. Jesus reigns. Give me a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Give me it again. Jesus reigns.
Hallelujah.
That's a good point to end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you reign. You are our God. There is none but you. You are Lord of lords. You are King of kings. You reign. We are your subjects. We are your people. We are your servants. And we are grateful, thankful, deeply thankful for all that you've done, all that you do, and all that you will do. So, Lord, inspire us. Strengthen us by your Spirit. Equip us by your Spirit. Embolden us by your Spirit, that we may live the things that we say and declare and believe, that our Lord reigns. And it is in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.